is GAA from Off the Ball.
We're getting very excited. We're taking over the airwaves from 7 a.m. all the way until midnight. There must be something big on, Joe.
It's the Dublin Drive for Five, Jerry.
Six All-Ireland titles in 8 years.
This is OTB Sports Radio.
I'm delighted to say now that we've got Meath coach Colm Nally in studio with us. You're very welcome back, Colm. How are you?
Oh, not too bad, thanks.
We might start with your season overall, because when we talk about this Sunday, you've come up against both opposition. You've come up against Kerry, you've come up against Dublin. They're obviously both defeats, but defeats in very different manners. And we'll start with the positive, which was Kerry. I presume you got a lot of hope from that going into next season.
Oh, without doubt. It was brilliant. It was a great occasion to get them to Navan. And, you know, just, you know, the learning we got from us was fantastic. But in the bigger scheme of things, we got to play four Division 1 teams at their best in Championship. And it was a great exposure for us and great exposure for the young players of the Meath panel, because it is a predominantly young panel. So the learning of it was fantastic, you know. And, you know, even thinking back about it, it's just whetted the appetite so much for next year.
Yeah, for sure. Like, you look at, say, Kerry, for example, and we'll start with them, and the woes that they've had with people running through the middle has been something that's been publicised for quite some time. Cork exposed it in the Munster final, and you guys obviously identified that going into the Super 8s game.
Yeah, and we got a bit of joy out of it too.
Yeah.
You know, we got a few goal chances, and like, you know, certainly some of the stuff we worked on worked in that match. But we found the trend there. We were competitive in all these teams for 62, 63 minutes. And the last 10 minutes of every game, we found it tough. But tactically, I think, and again, we're probably going to chat about it later on, I think all these teams, Kerry, Tyrone, Donegal, are all planning for Dublin, because they definitely try different things. You can see it in the games. Like, they probably have, you know, a dual sort of mandate where they're preparing for Meath, but they're also preparing for Dublin.
Yeah.
You know, you can see this. And they have to do that. And you could see that. So I felt they were trying certain things. Like, I remember the second goal that Kerry scored against us, we had defended really, really well. And we defended that well that I could hear the Meath crowd beginning to applaud the Meath players.
We were, yeah, I was in the crowd that day.
And the ball was being
Sean O'Shea goal.
Yes. And what happened was, it was just a speculative ball put across. Gavin went for the ball the wrong side of him. And he just bumped him and turned. And there's the thing, the difference with the Kerry players I found on the other teams, is he got a sniff of goal and he buried it. Now, we had done so well, I'd say we defended for about 90 seconds.
You pull them, like Kerry had pulled me back across the field, and yeah, he had turned them over once or twice.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Kerry retrieved the ball, and the patience of the Kerry team.
But there was no way we were going to concede a goal there.
Like, no.
We didn't look like we were going to concede a goal. We had everything right, we had set up, and it was just one moment lapse, and bang, they took that chance. Now, that's the thing that's very exciting about Kerry. They have the players, you give them that opportunity and they take it. But there's huge learning for us for that. And for instance, you can't give them a chance. You can't give them a sniff. So we gave them a sniff, they took it.
We will get into the tactics more very shortly indeed, but one of the key components of this Kerry setup, and I think he got more publicity when he left a couple of years ago, was Donny Buckley. Mm-hmm. And you know Donny quite well. What exactly is the Donny Buckley stamp on a Gaelic football team?
Well, I was talking to Tommy outside earlier on about this lovely phrase that I'm beginning to see an awful lot in coaching. It's called skill pollination. And what skill pollination is that every player is highly skilled that they can play in different positions. And Dublin have it and always have had it. And what I mean by that is Paul Mannion is an expert tackler back in his defence. Philly McMahon will score points. Dublin or Kerry are getting that, and that's down to Donny Buckley. Donny Buckley is a coach that, you know, there's loads of different types of coaches. He's predominantly a skills coach, so he'll upskill a player, he'll increase a player's skill set, and he's also a tactical coach, where he will tactically have the team ready. So he has huge input on this team, and you can see it in him. And we played him in a challenge match in Killarney. We went ready for a training weekend, we played him in a challenge match. Now at that stage, you didn't know what way the fixtures were going to go, but you could see what they were trying in the challenge match. We learned loads from it, right? And we actually took it in our prep. But like, you could see an awful lot of stuff that they were doing in training.
What exactly was it?
Okay, some of the stuff they were talking about, right? The terminology, like again, as a coach, you're kind of a magpie. You're always trying to learn and rob from people, right? And put your own little take on it. But they were insisting on this thing. They kept shouting this word trailer, 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 right? And the more and more we looked at it was, every single ball that went into David Clifford and whatever, they were getting fellas running off them. They were the trailers. They were to come in hard and collect the ball off them. Or vice versa, every fella that ran into a tackle had to have a trailer behind them. That's really interesting, you know. And I know, like as I said, you just kind of get this sense, like they were preparing for bigger things in that. Now, Kerry have had a fantastic season. People are forgetting, like, they were beaten in the National League final. They won Munster. Like, they haven't been beaten in the Championship. They've drawn one match in the Championship. So, I mean, you really have the two best teams in the country in the All-Ireland final that you want. But they are improving all the time. Probably jumping ahead of myself here, but I think they will be the team to dethrone Dublin. but it won't be this year. But they, I would say deep down they are thrilled with the season they're after having. They had a fantastic season, but you could see it in that match what they were working on. They're working on setting in traps. They're trying to add physicality to their game. Now that's another issue. I was thinking to myself on the way up here, we played Carlow, Offaly and Laois in the Leinster Championship, and then we played Dublin, and then we played Clare, and then we went into the Super 8s, and the four Division 1 teams taught us a lesson in game management, in the dark arts, in all that sort of stuff, where the other teams haven't got that, and neither had we. So again, the phrase I was using is like, is we're writing checks, right, and we haven't got the experience to cash them. But we're learning all the time in that. But we were taught so much in them four games. But Kerry, you could see in that training match, we're trying so many things, not for us.
There's a lot there I want to follow up on in just a moment. Just to let you know that our polls are still running online. It's part of our Drive for Five special, of course. We're picking the best Kerry or Dublin players from the past 25 years. There's Group A, for example, with Colin Cooper, as you can imagine, leading the way. You've got Brian Fenton dominating his group, which is Group B. Stephen Cluxton and Tomás O'Shea look set to go through to the last 16. You've got Dara O'Shea atop his group, which is Group D. Group E, then, you've got Mark O'Shea and Bernard Brogan looking set to go through. Seamus Moynihan topping the poll in Group F so far. Declan O'Sullivan and Dermot Connolly also look like they're going to progress. And then you've got Morris Fitzgerald atop Group H. We will be going to the results of that and going through the last 16 encounters in the next 20-25 minutes. Just a reminder, the Drive for Five special is taking over OTB Sports Radio all day from 7 a.m. to midnight with build-up to the All-Ireland Football Final. It's all with thanks to Tech7. Simply tech it and leave it. Right, Colin, you mentioned you learned a lot in terms of the dark arts from the top counties there. Talk to us about that.
Okay, well, you know, the blocking of runs, right, you might think that's sort of, sure, every team does that, but they don't do it. There's an art in doing it, and there's a way of doing it, and it's where you do it, the position of the team. One thing we noticed about Dublin is, and again, like, I don't want to get into this crack. I love this, like, I mean, what we want to do is see what we can take out of it, to learn from it. Dublin are everybody's in awe of them, right? They're in awe of them, and I find this fascinating, right? The second the bus pulls into Croke Park, the shirts are only short of bowing to them. Okay, they can come out of the pitch when they want. They have their own set of rules as such.
Tom?
Yeah, one thing that was really annoying me now, right, and I know this is, I'm being pedantic here, right, is the officials, or even the sideline, the linesmen, whatever, they'd say to them, Jack, hold on there for a minute. Kieran, just wait a second. Me, number seven, wait, whatever, you know. They used the names of the Dublin players, didn't use the name of the Meath players. And that was kind of, I thought that was a little bit, you know, put us on the back foot. One of the things we noticed, right, is they have a brilliant tactic Dublin have, and Kerry were doing this as well. Once there's a stoppage in play, the players are in around the ref and they're saying, do you mind if I ask you a question? What did I do wrong the last time there? Did you think I overcarried? But it's all games, it's all gamesmanship, it's all managing players and that. Where we were kind of probably going in and saying, what the hell was that? So again, we were picking up loads of that thing and saying, that's not how you address the official. Now you might think that's common knowledge, but when your emotions are all over the place, it's very hard to control your emotions to get that. And what you're doing there is you're befriending him during the game.
Sure, yeah.
Right, now, that won't really make a difference only for when there's a 50-50 call. You're going to say, he's nicer to me, I give it to him. Now, these are little fractions, but there's so much of that sort of stuff. We had a great crack with Jason Sherlock is in and out of the pitch all the time, right? And he's taking up positions to block sort of spaces for kickouts, right? Yeah. Now, Tommy Griffin and Carl Lacey, they played afterwards when we played in the Super 8s match in Croke Park against Mayo. Kerry played Donegal, and they clashed coming off the field, right? And they both got banned for 8 weeks. Right? Now, nobody heard about that, but it was rescinded the night before Kerry played Meath, so Tommy Griffin was out on the pitch.
Oh, really?
So we had earmarked this, and we were telling our runner, Tommy, Donald Curtis, you've got to get in every time, he's got to get in, we were trying to do all that sort of stuff. But Tommy Griffin's a nice man, right? And it's not natural to him trying to get in here and do this sort of stuff, right? Do you get me? Mm. So Kerry, where they're trying to bring all this kind of cynical play and all this sort of stuff.
Jason Sherlock's a nice man as well.
Yeah, but the way he does it is differently, right? See, but as I said, Tommy and Carl clashed, right? And as a result of that, they both got banned. Well, I know Tommy did, and he got rescinded, okay, because he was allowed to do it. So Donald went on, and they kind of clashed. But afterwards, they shook hands, and they were saying, everybody's doing it, I have to do it.
Donald's still playing senior football in Meath, isn't he?
Yeah,
so Donald's well fit to mix it, you know?
But again, what you're doing is you're trying to make these fellas do things that they're not used to doing, right? And where Dublin have it all to a T, Kerry, the likes of Meath, we're trying to introduce it, right? And it's not coming natural to you, so it's forced. And you see a lot of Kerry's play, right? They're trying to be cynical. Like Stephen O'Brien got that black card against Meath, right?
And probably wasn't a black card.
It wasn't a black card, but what he was trying to do was trying to be cynical.
Of course.
And it didn't come natural to him, and as a result, it looked awkward. And that's how he picked up the black card. And it was properly rescinded, right?
Well, Dublin have mastered the dark arts. And like,
without doubt.
Mayo for the last 3 or 4 years were probably number 2.
I'll give you a good example.
In that Dublin Meath game, I was sitting in the Cusack stand and I was surrounded by a couple of Meath Dublin supporters. I got it ripped out of me for about 10 minutes. I lost the head with, I think it was Johnny Small, pulling down Kenny O'Sullivan on the, and the linesman was right beside it. But we're going to see that. That's going to be chaos this weekend. But we're going to see that all over the place this weekend.
Here, like, it's well documented that we scored 4 points that day, but we really had a good performance, right? And if you really analyse it, there was loads and loads for us to take out of that. But our very first free kick, Jack McCarthy spent about 30 seconds tying his lace right in front of Ben Brennan. Now, I would have got in trouble if I was the runner because I would have been on tackling that. The referee, number one, should have moved him, and number two, should have booked him.
Brennan hit the post.
Yeah. Right, now that was a tactic. That was so blatant. So Ben is standing there with his arms in his pocket, or his hips, waiting for him to get out of his way. Now the referee never dealt with that. So they're the little things that they're so far ahead of. Now, that's brilliant. I love that, and you know, and fair play to them.
What's your favourite dark art?
Well, that one, like the likes of that. My favourite dark art is how they talk to the referee.
Okay.
I think it's fantastic. Do you mind if I ask you this?
Mm.
Blah, blah, blah. Like, I've never. How can you control your emotions that you can say, "Do you mind if I ask you this? Did you think I overcarried that? Did you think I went in too hard? Why did you blow? I just want to know for learning." This sort of stuff. You know?
I've heard that the phrase "deliberate infraction" has been used by players towards the referee. That the rule book has been swallowed, and like obviously that's what other teams need to get to, rather than complaining about. This.
And this is the point I'm making. I'm not complaining about this. I'm kind of a tipping my hat to it,
exactly.
And saying, right, we need to take what we can from that. And look, we can't replicate that because then it's not ours. But you have to take the bits that you can from it.
Teams, for me, the example, like Meath are going to play 10 Division 1 teams between this summer and the end of next March.
Yeah.
They haven't played 10 Division 1 teams in the last decade.
Absolutely.
So like, it's been a lost decade for Meath football. So for teams like Meath, they need that. Because like, you're not, as you said, you're not getting it against the Division 2 or 3 teams.
Yeah, and you learn so much. You know? Now, we threw a few little dark arts in, and I don't really want to say it, but some of them worked. And when they work, you're kind of going in and say, lads, there you go.
Yeah.
Right? And you know, and that's what it's about. Now, look, years ago, like it was more, the dark arts were different. They were kind of taking the head off someone, right? So we're gone away from that now. But now the dark arts are kind of, how can you get an advantage, right, by kind of stepping over the mark without getting in trouble?
Can I ask a quick one? I asked Lee Keegan earlier on. In Dublin's 2-6 that they scored in that 12-minute spell, Mayo couldn't quell that blue wave, say, that Dublin had brought in that second half. It was unbelievable, and we've spoken about it a lot. Is there anything you can do nowadays to, if someone like Dublin has a run on you like that and you have to stop it, you've got to stop momentum, what can you do? You can't start a rally like 96.
No, there's loads of different things. Well, the thing about that, what makes that very interesting, I think a lot of kind of analysis have missed this, right? Mayo lost a throw in the second half and I can't remember the name of the centre-back, pulled.
Conor Boyle.
Yeah, he fouled and there was a free award at the Dublin straight from the throw-in. And that put them in the back foot straight away. Now, that was a cardinal error. That should not have happened, right? If they had got a score in the second half, they had worked for it. They handed them a score. So straight away, you gave them the momentum, right? Simple things like this. You have to have a strategy that when, you know, whether it's a goal, whether it's a point, that the game is slowed down. The goalkeeper goes down or somebody goes down, the medics come on, you take the sting out of the match. Now, you could still concede the next score, but you have to take the sting out of the match. Now, what happens is Mayo were brilliant that first half and they went in at halftime and it's very hard for you to kind of keep calm in the dressing room and get your points across, which is the proper way, 3 or 4 key points, whatever. You probably had lots of fellas yapping and roaring and shouting and that, and they came out hopping like a jack in the box, right? They should have come out composed. And that was the difference, right? Dublin are always composed. So you have to take this thing. Now, you watched against last year, against Tyrone. I think I mentioned the last time I was on. Tyrone scored 4 or 5 points in the trot, whatever, and then Dublin just killed the game, got everyone behind the ball. Okay, they kept the bout of activity as long as possible, and what I mean by that is Dublin are so conditioned. On average, if the bout of activity, that means the ball staying in play is longer than 90 seconds, most teams are going to tire. And when they tire, they make mistakes. Dublin don't tire. So Dublin are quite happy to let you have the ball for 90 seconds to 2 minutes because they know that you will make a mistake. And then they pounce on you. And there's a trigger, and they pounce on you.
So that game intelligence.
And that is fantastic. And that is down to coaching. And you can't get away from this. That is fantastically coached. Now, they have players there with growth mindsets. They have management with growth mindsets. And I know, for instance, you watch what Dublin do this year. You're watching the three trenches, the way they push up in the kickouts. That came from St. Vincent's. And I've seen kickouts that Dublin have done that other, like St. Jude's and Castleknock have used. And it's brilliant that he allows them players to have that influence in the team to make these suggestions and they take them aboard. Like, it's just a wonderful setup that they have where everybody has a say in it. Mm. And you can see, like, that press that they're doing is everyone knows that's St. Vincent's press. Vincent's been doing that for years, you know. So it's fantastic that they allow the players have the say and to practice that.
Well, let's have a look at how exactly Kerry can go about doing this, or how, as well, I'm interested in how Mead went about both approaches as well on our tactics board in just a moment. But first of all, let's have a look at this. How devastating is Conor Callaghan? Here's Anthony Moyles on the Cooling Man. Let's talk about Conor Callaghan.
Yeah. Well, I think what they're doing is, and it's very, very evident over the last number of weeks and months, Dublin are playing a long ball now.
Yeah.
That is in the armoury. So they have decided, okay, like, and it's actually very obvious. Sometimes Scully did it, if you remember, McCaffrey did it the last day, where he's actually putting the ball up, you know, and he's saying, listen, I'm kicking this in. And Scully did it yesterday. He bounced twice, he had a free, and he bounced it twice. So it wasn't as obvious as that, but he was basically saying, this is coming in on top of you. You better win this. So Kilkenny and himself, if you remember, Kilkenny played a lot of the league, I think, last year in at full forward.
Yeah.
So he has that ability now to hold off. And in the modern game, like, back when I was playing and I ended up getting shifted into full back, there was a lot of high balls coming in, so you had to deal with that. In the modern game, you don't get that. You didn't get it much in the last couple of years. Everything was kind of out in front of you. You know, and when you're in a packed defence, it's all about tracking runners and keeping into your zones. There's very little, actually, high balls just put in, and you have to go win your own ball. But Dublin have been obviously focusing on that. And with him, with O'Callaghan and Kilkenny, they have two massively strong individuals who have a leap on them. Their conditioning, their athleticism is fantastic, and when they come down, their eyes are open, they're ready to flick passes or just turn you. Like O'Callaghan's turn yesterday, like he was down on the ground and he was around the defender as quick as a lightning and banged over the bar. Should have been a goal really a couple of times. But they've added that to their game, and it's a massive threat.
Yeah, Anthony Moyles talking about Conor Callaghan there. You can get all our GAA content back on youtube.com/offtheball. Colm Nally is still with us in studio, and as you can see, we've moved over to our tactics board. Colin, there's tons of things we can talk about here. We're going to start with the Dublin forwards.
Okay, yeah. Again, as I was explaining, right, mostly the Dublin forwards, right? The Dublin forwards can play in any sort of formation. They'll drop behind, they'll play two up front, they'll line up in lines, they'll line up in squares. But one of the key things that Dublin look for is hitting their inside forward line as early and as quickly and as often as possible. Now, they get 76% of their scores from ball directly into them. So it's crucial for Kerry, and it's a tactic that a lot of teams don't really adapt, is that the ball does not stick to these guys. And what I mean by sticking there is it doesn't matter if you get your toe in, your fist in, your head in, the ball must break. And the reason being this is because the minute that ball hits in there, they've got fellas looping around, they've got fellas coming in to take the ball off them. Or indeed, this guy has the skill set to turn and shoot. Now, if you break the ball, it becomes a race to collect the breaking ball. If he wins it, he's in control, and this man is marking him, he glances at him, he loses him. You cannot glance, you cannot turn. But if he has the ball in possession, the whole momentum is with him. But if it breaks, it's a race between them two to win it. So you have a better chance of stopping that. Now, we got some joy out of that, and we worked heavily on that. Now, this is the thing about playing Dublin, is when Dublin identify that you're breaking that ball, they'll change tack midstream. They're so well in depth, they'll spot that and they'll run the ball. So again, whatever you practice in training, you've got to practice the response that Dublin's going to bring. Do you get me?
Mm-hmm.
Because they're going to be expecting you to have an answer, but they have another question. So the other thing that you'll find, particularly with Dublin forwards, is that they can retreat all behind the ball. Now, lots of people speak about this, and they call it Dublin their most defensive team in the country. That's not a defensive tactic, even though people think it's a defensive tactic. What it isn't an offensive tactic. And what they're doing is they're getting men behind the ball so that they can win it and break. Now, you watch these fellas. This could be Dean Rock or Conor Callaghan. They work so hard chasing everybody. And when they eventually turn the ball around, whether it be here or whatever, they now become what's called walls. They are not expected to get back up here, but they are expected to turn and be the outlet for the ball to give to the runner. And they do that all the time. It's like a call or a trigger they have. But people comment and say, oh, they're so defensive, they're just defensive. It's not a defensive tactic, it's an offensive tactic. So they break hard. But it's very important that these guys here, as I said, they're walls, they're outlets for wall passes. So if he gives it to him, he can give it to the runner going. They very seldom turn and back that up because they're after doing so much work. Right? So they're very, very inept. They line up in single files. They can line up in boxes. Okay, and all this is based on creating space for the kickouts, believe it or not. So what happens is, Stephen Cluxton has the ball to kick the ball out, okay, these are already moving. Now, that's incredible. If you really watch closely, these are already moving. And what they're doing is, straight away, is they're pulling these fellas out, and what they're doing is opening what's called passing channels.
Do they know where Clarkson is going with the ball?
No, they don't, right. And, you know, Jason Sherlock would be running on, and fellas would be coming on, giving them instructions, and they'll be calling numbers and all that. But they're kind of false calls. So it's all based on movement. So what we need to do, what Kerry need to do, I feel, right, and again, most teams try, is you need to give up a pocket. So let's say you give up pocket four, right? And what I mean by that is you're kind of trying to tempt him to go here with a kick out. Now, he's not leaving him, but he's staying in an area.
So the blue marker is Kerry here.
Yeah, so the blue marker is Kerry. So they're kind of standing off and they're offering him here. So if he takes that ball, what you have here is you have an option to get back your players set up as quick as possible. Now, this is a golden rule for Kerry, right, for the weekend. They need to have always a plus one in their defence. Now, the thing about the plus one is it cannot come from the defenders. So what I mean by this, if the Dublin players empty out, the Kerry players should not follow them. They have to leave their six defenders and they have to have an extra one coming either from the midfielders or for forwards, only when they lose the ball. So what I'm saying is if they lose the ball here, they have a better chance of getting that plus one there. If they lose the ball out around the middle, it's difficult to get that. So they will always have to have that because these Dublin players are going to be moving. Right, and you're looking for these players to follow with them. But if they follow them out of the defence, you're leaving huge gaps and their transition is that quick.
So that's interesting that you use the phrase plus one rather than a sweeper because that's what you'd initially say. So that plus one sits in front of the six backs.
Yeah, well, what you're trying to do is this. If you can imagine, right, probably difficult to see, if you can imagine an hourglass going like this, like that. So you've got two Vs in front of each goal. So when Kerry are defending, they have to fill that hourglass with as many bodies as possible. When they're attacking, they have to get as much space. Now that's what Dublin do. Dublin will fill box 3 and 6 all the time. Okay? And what they try to
box
do...
Box 3 and 6 being the two central positions, the 3 and the 6 jersey. Yeah.
And they will have heavy presence there. And they'll fill that in there. So what happens is, right, you're trying to create space one end and condense space the other end. So if you can imagine the hourglass, so it varies as you attack. So if you're attacking, you're trying to create space. But Dublin start moving earlier than any other team. Soon as Stephen Cluxon puts the ball out, the forwards are moving. Soon as the ball's in the middle for the throw-in, you watch them forwards moving. Alex Niles Scully hanging at the sideline. Okay, all time of the runs coming in. The guys crisscrossing. Jack McCaffrey might get that ball and Jack McCaffrey might pass it and then Jack just bombs up the field. And what he does by coming in here, right, is what he does is he just takes a player following him, he creates a gap. They're all about looking for space in the gap, and when he comes in, he has to empty out and fill in. So what he's doing is he comes in at an arch and he gets out. They're watching Con or Callan, Dean Rock or whoever make Kieran Kelly make that run, and then they fill in. So they empty out and fill in. So there is huge predetermined movement that they have practiced. And what happens is most teams follows them because people say go man for man, but what they're really doing is they're making unselfish runs to get you out of space, to create space for others, if you understand that. So that's why Kerry needs that plus one there all the time.
Who is that plus one?
It'll vary. It'll come from the midfielders. It'll be Stephen O'Brien. It'll be David Moore. It'll be Spillane. It'll be O'Connor. It'll be any of them players. It depends where the ball is. Now, it's very, very important that they always have that. Right, because these guys are creating the space, and if they create the space, these lads have to fill it in their box 6 and 3. Do you get me? So if a point is a good score against Dublin, if you can get that into your head, a point's a good score against Dublin, always keeps you in the mix, in the loop. But it's fascinating, like between matchups and between tactics and between movement. Now when Kerry, this is probably interesting, when Kerry are attacking, okay, so we say the Kerry are the Reds here, and Dublin drop their bodies, right? You're going to see a situation where Kerry have to have what's called a conductor. So they might have one conductor or they might have two conductors. And what a conductor does is he must always be behind the ball, 10 metres behind the ball, to be an option for the ball to be outlet. And two conductors. Now, we worked shocking hard on this and we thought we were really ahead of the game. And so basically what you're doing is trying to get the ball from that side to that side, maybe back that side, and the ball keeps going back and forward, you're swinging it.
It's Kieran Kilkenny's run.
Yes, yeah. Now he's the conductor for them, and you could have two conductors. Now the conductor moves it, but what you're really looking for is getting the ball from here to here. Now at one stage, we were playing in the Leinster final, and we got the ball here, and perfectly moving it, but when we went to get it to this side, these boys have filled in here and filled in our swing space. And we were just kind of amazed like how much ahead of the curve they are in thinking. So when we tried to move the ball here, they had filled that space. We had to go back here and then they had us trapped. Now that's a predetermined tactic. They are a step ahead of you.
The thing is though, when you fill that trap and when you counteract that trap, you are overcommitting bodies to certain areas of the pitch, right?
Mm.
So how do you get past that? Like, how do you make these two men here quite effective? Because they're the men whose markers have gone to essentially strangle your sideline.
So that's it. When Dublin cut off our swing space, they had everyone behind the ball. So they allow you to come up one wing, okay, and they're making sure that they're touch tight inside, that you have no option inside, and they know you're going to swing the ball. So they're letting you have the ball in certain areas. Okay, and then they're slyly filling in other areas. Mm. So they know that you're going to try to swing the ball to open them up. And then when you come over here to swing and see that option's gone, these guys have sensed it and they're pushing up and they're kind of surrounding you. Okay, so everyone's getting around you and they tackle the number on your back. Okay, so this is very important. So you're wearing number 16 or whatever on your back, that's where they go to. Because if you go to the back of the man, he can't turn left or right because you're behind him. So you're cutting at that option, right? Now, they're not tackling you, but they're just right behind you. And that's a tactic of theirs. Go to the number on their jersey, especially when they're trying to stop you swinging. Do you understand?
Right, that's
so you have the ball, so they're right behind you, right? You sense him behind you, can't go, he has your snooker.
So they're not going into the side to dispossess you immediately?
No. And what happens then is you either overcarry it, you end up just having to kick the ball off his knees, but you concede possession.
Yeah.
You know, and it's really, really strong. Now, this is where Kerry, again, this is probably all over the place, but Kerry then have to have their breakers and their swingers. So if they get a chance to run at them, they have to get fellas off their shoulder. Now, this is very interesting, right? And I'm a big believer in this, and we try to preach this. So no matter what Dublin bring back there, you can't have more than 7 inside the 65. So if I put more players in there...
7 offensive players.
Yeah, look what happens. I go nowhere.
Yeah.
So that's where your empty out comes in and fills in. So he goes out, he fills in, and they're constantly coming around and acting as conductors. But if you have more than 7 inside 65, that's what Dublin want. Now there's two things about that one, right? If you have more than 7 in there, you're condensing the space, you're making it hard to create space, and they've lots of bodies there, but you're wide open at the back. You've too many committed.
But that's the primary reason, because when you said 7 only, I thought to myself, well, it just gets a bit congested in there, yeah, but actually it's more of a precaution for the break.
Absolutely,
that
Now, but this 7, right, this is the key to the 7. They're not static. They're getting out of it and someone else is replacing them. They're getting out of it and someone... Mm. And by doing that, you're hoping that one of the players will follow you. Now, this will happen for certain, right? We're nearly sure of this. Dublin will man-mark 3 Kerry forwards. Now, you won't know which 3 it will be until 5 or 6 minutes into the game. So that's where the Kerry backroom team will be up in the stands and they'll be contacting Peter Keane and saying, A, B and C has been marked. Now, we can guess who the 3 will be and you might not be right. So obviously probably David Clifford will be one. Okay, Geaney might be another, but they might mark then Sean O'Shea. Right, or they might mark O'Brien. You don't know, but they will man mark. So what I mean by man mark is they're told, go out and stop him play. Now that's where you have a chance to get joy. Because even though you don't want to do this, but if David Clifford is the one that's man marked, if David Clifford shows hard for the ball, his marker goes with him. And there's your space. If David Clifford doesn't go hard for the ball and is making a dummy run, he knows, the Dublin player knows, and won't vacate that space.
Mm.
Okay, so they let him get the ball and they let the lads deal with him.
So the hard running needs to be done by the men who are being tightest marked by Dublin.
Yeah, now what you're talking about is real-time tactics. So you're talking about the guys in the stand.
Or the players on the pitch having the understanding.
Now here's the thing, that the Dublin have a march on everybody else. They suss that out straight away. Where the other teams, we're not at that, well, I don't know about Kerry, but I know lots of other teams aren't at that stage yet. They're the runner coming on and saying, right, it's you. So again, you know, right, this is a tactic. 3 of us are going to be man-marked. And when that happened, we've done a lot of work on that, right? So we had to get the word out, it's you, so you've got to make them hard runs. And by showing really hard for the ball, be it centre forward or whatever, little pockets of space opens up, and that's what you have to identify and try to win. Now, it's all based on primary possession. If you can win your primary possession in kickouts, well, then this really doesn't come into play.
Mm.
But if it's slow and cumbersome build-up, that's what you're going to face.
Who's going to win on Sunday?
I think Dublin will win. I think they'll win convincingly, but it won't be the last 10 minutes.
Convincingly being 7-8 points?
Yeah, 5-6-7.
One final question. It's going to be something that'll pop up tactically throughout the day. We didn't get to today. Tommy Walsh, should he start for Kerry?
I'd start him.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why I'd start him, because I think they have to bring something different to the field. Now, I wouldn't use him all the time in terms of long ball, only when I can. Like, if you have that condensed area, it's no point using him,
yeah,
right, because they'll gobble him up. But if you can get him in isolation in terms of in the hour glass with 3 or 4 players, I'd use him all the time.
Good stuff, Colin. Thanks many for popping in. What's the name of your coaching book again, if anybody wants to check it out?
It's gone. It's just gone. Colin Nally Coaching Manual. Yeah, it's completely sold out.
So you've got your YouTube channel as well. What's the name of the YouTube channel?
Yeah, it's just under my name, yeah.
Good stuff. So you can check out Colm Nelly on YouTube. Some fantastic coaching insights there. Hopefully brilliant insight for you at home today. It was certainly brilliant for me. Thanks a million for popping in, Colm. The Drive for Five special, of course, is taking over OTB Sports Radio all day from 7 a.m. to midnight with build-up to the All-Ireland Football Final. It's all with thanks to Tech 7. Simply tech it and leave it.
And the four in a row has been achieved by Dublin.
This is GAA from Off the Ball.
We're getting very excited. We're taking over the airwaves from 7 a.m. all the way until midnight. There must be something big on, Joe.
It's the Dublin Drive for Five, Ger.
Six All-Ireland titles in 8 years.
This is OTB Sports Radio.